This Sunday is Easter. Hallelujah. This Friday is Good Friday. So just be praying. Sunday has it's a wonderful day. And invite somebody. Invite somebody unsaved. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of times people that are unsaved, they'll come to a special service when they won't come. You know, they'll come two or three times a year. And so invite your unsaved neighbor to come. Get them in here. And together with the Holy Ghost, we'll get them saved. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, can I get you guys to help me? I'm going to put some props out here again tonight because a picture is worth a thousand words. How many of you have got a chance as of yet, and there's no condemnation if you say you haven't, but have watched any of the services from the conference, Jim Martin's conference? Anybody? Just one? Okay, did you guys see any of Gary's services? You did. Good. Okay, good. Most people haven't, and so we're going to try to go through some of those. And most of you might not ever go to that and watch. So it's my assignment tonight to just to begin to reaccount. I'm sure we're not going to get a long ways into it, but I just want you to begin to hear I believe is a message that God has given to the body of Christ and is also giving to the Family Prayer Center, because I could ask this rhetorical question: how many of you know we're going into revival? And you'd all say yes. But how many of us know what it's going to actually take to go into revival? I think maybe we might say yes, but I don't think we quite know. I think we know, and to a certain measure, I believe we do. But for us to be able to receive what we're going to receive in these last days, I believe it's going to take every bit of the wisdom and the knowledge and the offering ourselves over to God that we possibly can. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stretch your faith this way and just help me? Just pray for me. I appreciate it so much. Father, we love you. And we just worship you and thank you for this hour. We thank you for the hour that we're coming into. Lord, maybe more challenges than we've ever seen, but at the same time, there's a reward on the other side. And there's a reward right in the middle of it. If we can find that place, that continual place where you're always at, and you're always there for us. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll show us these things. Teach us these things by your Spirit. Lead us and guide us into all truth, Holy Spirit. This is your commission, and we receive your commission. We can do nothing of ourselves. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I receive your life and your grace, and I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, I will encourage you to continue. I will continue to encourage you. If you get a chance, go to jmmgrace.com, and that's where you'll find, go to the archives. No, how do you find that? Live streaming or video, and then go to, there's a little archives box there. And if you get a chance and you can make the chance, go there and watch at least the night services that Gary taught. And he'll do a much better job. And almost all of this is a reaccounting of much of what was taught there. And as I said, we're just going to ease into it tonight. And but I would encourage you to go there, because you're going to get the best of the best. And praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you know what our commission is? What is it? No trick question. What is it? What is it? Pressing into God for what? To receive an outpouring. Years ago, when the Lord called me to Immokalee, and I got called in here, I really think, in all due respect to God, He tricked me. My pastor at the time asked me to come over and lead a Bible study, and I was willing to do that. I was a cell group pastor, and I was willing to come over and lead a Bible study because that was a good thing to do, and I thought I was going to be here maybe a month or two, and then I would be gone. But I sure did not want to pastor in Immokalee. I didn't think I really wanted to be a pastor to begin with, and I sure didn't want to pastor in Immokalee. But now Immokalee is my home. It's the best place in the world. Hallelujah, because I'm in the center of God's will. But God kind of tricked me. He kind of just said, okay, yeah, go over there and lead the Bible study for a month or two. And that was BD. How many of you know what BD? That was before Dave Roberson. That was BD. Or I could say BDR, okay. And so we came over and we started doing whatever, and thank God Almighty that we were not recording those messages. But you know, the Holy Spirit will work with whatever He's got. I believed in praying in tongues, but I didn't know that I could just deliberately, on purpose, change my future as a result of it. A lot of things happened in a couple of years, and we were trying to figure out where to go in life, and we stayed, and then we fell in love with the people. A few of those people are still here. But we fell in love with the direction of God. And in that course of time, God began to change me, and I began to cry out for more of God. And in that crying out for more of God, somebody gave me some tapes by Dave Roberson, and I began to listen. And one of the things that thrilled me the most was that I could change my spiritual future just because I wanted to. I could deliberately change my future. I realized that God was smarter than I was dumb, and that He could change my future if I just give Him the time. One of the things that I'm reminding myself of now that makes perfect sense is that I could not figure out my future, and I could not figure out myself. How many have ever tried to fix something about yourself and you didn't even know what was wrong with you? That's the worst place to be, is try to fix something and you don't even know what's wrong. But you know what? You don't even have to know what's wrong or even how to fix it if you'll just sit and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's a fix-all. If you think that we believe around here that praying in tongues fixes all, you're pretty close. Hallelujah. You're pretty close. Now, there's other limbs to add to that or with Him, but I'm telling you, much of the foundation is built upon praying in tongues. Well, I began to do that, praying in tongues, and this person fed me Dave Roberson tapes. And one of the things that I heard in his messages, and later met him, and he became my pastor soon thereafter, one of the things that I heard in his messages was what his call was. I fell in love with Jesus over again, and the Father became my Father. Praying in tongues became a strong staple in my life. And then the vision, the actual, I can't even remember, you know, because every church is supposed to have a vision statement. And when we first came over and we were first trying to form the church, and another pastor was with us helping us form that church, and God bless him, he's a wonderful man. But we formed some kind of vision statement, and I don't even know, I can't even remember. I remember maybe bits and pieces if I thought about it, but it just wasn't concise. The conciseness of where we're at right now is we want to see an outpouring. We want to see revival. And there's a lot of things that go into that. And that's what I heard in my pastor, Dave Roberson's message, that God sent him to Tulsa when he was in transition in itself, when he was living out in Oregon. The Lord began to speak to him and say, I want you to go. He tried to go all over place. He tried to go to Texas. He tried to go to Orlando. He tried to go to different cities. And the Lord said, I want you to go to Tulsa. And I might not have this exactly right, but you've heard him say this before, and you've had heard others repeat it. He said, I want you to go into my spirit as far as you possibly can to pull out the miraculous, to bring God to a religious city, to bring my spirit, to bring my power to a religious city. When I heard that, which was the substance of revival, the Lord began to speak to my heart, not as a parrot, not as just as a mockingbird, but the Lord said, that's what I've called you to do. I want you to stay in Immokalee and raise up a bunch of people. if you're wondering why I'm laughing, I'm not laughing at, I'm laughing with God, because I'm looking at not a bunch of people after almost 20 years. I'm looking at people. Hallelujah. So praise God. At least there's people here. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not just preaching to benches, you know, or seats. So praise God, there is seed. Hallelujah. As long as there's seed. Hallelujah. Well, so I received the commission to go in. And many of you have received that with me. And you haven't received it as parrots as well, but you've received it as from the Holy Spirit. So what we're doing is we're believing God for a miracle-working outpouring of the Holy Spirit that can turn our city into a city where God actually is doing something in the earth that he's desired to do since the book of Acts. Hallelujah. And I'm not really, really concerned about these seats being empty. I know that from one day to the next, they can be absolutely full. They can absolutely be full. And that's what we've been believing God for many, many years. Well, Dave had the same call, or I should say I received the same call after listening to him. And it was the same call. You know, revival is Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Hallelujah. That's revival. Being able to go out, heal the sick, cast out devils, see all those miracles that are taking place, will take place in the ministry of Jesus, also take place in this house and in the streets in the days ahead. There's some that are, God is really touching to go out in the streets in the very near future, and we're just listening for the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that I heard Pastor Dave say, and I remember Gary saying that on the tapes, is that when Pastor Dave received his commission, or I would say prior to, and that reminds me of something else, not only am I recommending that you listen to the last conference at Jim Martin's, but I'd also recommend that you go to Dave Roberson's website and go to the series teaching and scroll down. I think the first ones you'll see is something about, the first one is Radical Grace by Gary Carpenter, and then it goes into the worship series, and then it may go into the Born Again Trail. But if you'll keep scrolling down the page, you'll find one called Unmasking Satan's Tactics, and it's by Dave Roberson. And it's way back. I mean, Dave's voice doesn't even sound like Dave's voice. He's 43 years old when he's teaching this. But it's just unbelievable. I should say believable, but it's amazing that the things that he was saying then was incredible, absolutely incredible. And I have to say the same thing that Gary said when he was teaching much of this. This isn't anything that Dave wasn't teaching years ago. But guess how he got it? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And so one of the things that prepared him for going to Tulsa and getting the commission by the Holy Spirit to go in and receive a spiritual outpouring, go into the miraculous so strong that he pulled back, pulled out of that place of the Spirit, the miraculous, and brought the miraculous and brought an outpouring to a religious city. Now, the Holy Spirit termed it as a religious city because there's so many different ministries there, so many different doctrines, so many different teachings. We're not necessarily in a religious city, but going into God, into his presence, and going in as far as we can to pull out the miraculous will work any place. It'll work in Immokalee. It'll definitely work in Immokalee. One of the things that God prepared Dave for in all that years earlier was this particular teaching on unmasking Satan's tactics, and much of that is in all of this, is that some of you'll remember this vision that he was, I believe, that he was on a fast. He'd come off a fast or coming out of one, and he began to see a vision. At one particular point, he saw a vision, and he saw the earth, and he saw the globe, like, of the earth. And when he saw it, there also was a very dark band, a very ominous, if you want to call it, just really dark, ominous kind of band around the earth. And when he saw that, he also, in that vision, he saw that this band was around the earth, and that people would pray, and male or female, and they would go into God, and every once in a while, one of whoever was really, really seeking God would struggle enough or fight enough in the spirit that they would get a hand maybe just outside of that dark band that was around the earth. And when they would pull that hand back and go back into the earth or public ministry, they had healing powers that were incredible. They were part of maybe the healing revivals, or they were very notable people in the planet where people said, my God, they have got a miracle working ministry. They have got incredible miracles that follow their ministry. He said also he saw people that would, you know, fight, struggle through the dark band and get their head just above that dark band. And when they would go back underneath it and go back into the earth, that they would, because they were so filled, their head was so filled with the knowledge and the revelation of God's Word, that they would go and they would just teach incredible messages, incredible revelation would follow their life, and people would just be awed at, like, my God, we never heard anything like this before. And he did see a few people that would actually get their whole body, it seemed, outside of this dark band. And when they got their whole body back, and went back into the earth, he said that it was just like firebrands or meteorites or however you want to describe it, that these people went in and it just, light just exploded wherever they were at. And it just had a very, very powerful ministry, and they were known all over the earth for what they were doing. And so when he's watching all that, and however long that took, maybe just a few seconds, but that's how visions work. But while he was watching that, the Holy Spirit, or God, asked him, he said, what do you suppose that dark band is? And his immediate response was going to be, that's got to be Satan. You know, that's got to be the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians chapter 6. That has to be those things that hold back the people of God. And immediately that was going to be his response. And before he ever responded, God spoke up, or the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside of him, because he knew what his response was going to be. And he said, that's not the devil. That's not Satan. He said, what you're looking at, that dark band, is the flesh. It's the flesh. And he said, son, what has kept, he went on to teach him, is that what has kept the church at bay, what has kept men and ministries for centuries since the book of Acts, has not been the devil. How many of you know really he is defeated? He really is defeated. He's a defeated foe. But what keeps, I want to say, us, or what has kept us but not will not continue to keep us, or what keeps the church from being able to go into that place where God's intention is always, how many of you know that revival's not sovereign? It's not. He's not. Whenever we do get it, that won't be the time God wanted it. If he could have it, he could have it today. He said, well, whenever God wants it, we're going to get it. You know, I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's going to be whenever he wants it. No. If he could get it, he could get it. He'd want it today. So what we're battling, and God said, that's the flesh. The only way that the enemy really has, the only way, and this is what we're going to look at a little bit tonight, and we'll get in over the weeks ahead. The only thing the enemy really has is the flesh to come at us with. And he knows how, in Mark chapter 4, we don't have to turn there, but just in reference to that, to what Jesus was teaching in Mark chapter 4, he begins to talk about, Jesus talks about the different things that comes to steal the word from us and choke the word from us. Because we've talked about this before, if the word can mature, if the word can maturate or can mature in us, if it can go to a place where it keeps building and building to a hundredfold return, that's the place where revival lives. That's the place. So Satan's objective from the very beginning is to steal the word from you. Afflictions, persecution, cares of this world. Jesus named five different things. There's not really only five different things. He cannot go outside of the box. The enemy cannot go outside of the box. He cannot create any. Jesus exhausted, he totally exhausted every way that Satan could come after you when he said afflictions, persecutions, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. Let's just talk about the first three for just a moment. The first three, and this is why I really encourage you to go back and listen to these messages by Pastor Dave. I talked to Homer about it a week or so ago. He said, man, I just finished that series. So he's listening, and he said, I just finished that. It was fantastic. He'd just finished it a couple of weeks earlier. But when Jesus is talking about in Mark chapter 4, afflictions, persecutions, and cares of this world, those first three are things that come from without. Those are the things, and as I started to say, I encourage you to go back and to listen to that series, because as I've been listening over the past few days, and as I was listening to what Gary was saying, I remember listening to all those series years and years ago. And however long, if you go in that office in there, you'll see, not only did I have all of the series put together as they would come out, but I have like volumes and volumes of the cassettes. I don't know what I'll ever do with it. Maybe we'll build a memorial with them one day. But there are things that, I guess maybe because of where we're at, or where I'm at, that really, truly, I did not hear, or I cannot remember hearing when I first heard the series. And I'm listening to it again today and yesterday, and I don't know, maybe Monday. And I was hearing different things that I'd never heard before. Now, afflictions, persecution, cares of this world, cares of this life, one of the things I think that I did understand then was that those things are those things that come from without. What are they? Well, just you could name a whole lot of stuff. Financial problems, sickness, disease in the body, or things coming against your flesh as far as your physical. Problems in the home. All different kinds of things. And those are the things that come from without. I mean, if a person, once a person gets born again and they start going to church and they say, you know what, I'm really going to make a go at it. I'm really going to make a go at it. I love Jesus. I love, you know, this message of praying in tongues, and I love the Word of God. Well, believe me, from the very beginning, just like God has a plan for your life, the enemy begins to throw things at you. And the first things, afflictions, persecutions, and the cares of this world, or the cares of this life, those are the things that he begins to throw at you, and he begins to throw at you. And the deal is on from the very beginning. And if a person doesn't realize that the things that are attacking their life, you know, the financial problems, the different things that are coming against, you know, their home to divide it, and the kids go crazy, or this happens, you know, and whatever it is. I mean, you know, you're bound and determined that you're going to serve God. You're going to go on Wednesday night. You're going to go on Friday night, you know. You're going to go to call in the lost. You're going to help Sister Gaze. You know, you're going to support what's going on. And it doesn't take long before if the enemy sees that you're energetic towards the Word of God, well, what happens to you is you're praying. Heaven loves you. Heaven applauds you. But at the same time, there's this big bullseye that's on the back of your back. And you'll be getting ready to, you know, come to church, and you're like, woo, glory to God. I feel good. You know, and you're just praising the Lord, and you just think, you know, praise God, I'm doing good. And, you know, tonight's Wednesday night. Man, I can't wait for, you know, service tonight. And, you know, you bounce out to the mailbox and get your mail and open it up, and, you know, the IRS says, we will be happy to inform you that in the next 2 weeks, you will be under an audit, and we will be sending our, you know, best auditor by. And you're like, cares this world. All of a sudden, here he comes. And you're like, okay, well, I can survive that. I know that's the devil. And while you're walking up your drive, you look over, and two or three of your, you know, tires are flat. Like, woo. You know, and then you get a call from the school. You need to come down here and pick up Junior or the little one. They're sick. You're thinking, well, I go down and pick them up, but my car doesn't work. That stuff you'll start throwing. He'll start throwing. And the thing about it is most people can stand it for a while. They can stand it for a while. But the problem is the enemy comes. He doesn't just come for a little while. He comes day after day. You remember the teaching in Ephesians chapter 6? What is Diablo? What is he? Mr. Penetration. He's the drip, 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 drip. How many of you know that if all the people that he's run off through afflictions, persecutions, and the cares of this life from even this ministry over the past 20 years, if we had them all back, how many people would we have here? We could not fill, huh? What? Oh, we'd need a bigger church. Yeah. Like the guy on Jaws, I think we're going to need a bigger boat. Yeah. We would need, I don't think the biggest church in Immokalee would begin to even seat us. Well, everybody that ever come and sit down where you're seated, always, most of them had pom-poms, spiritual pom-poms, like, we're going to do it. Yes, we are. Hallelujah. We're going to beat him. We're going to have revival. Hallelujah. And they meant it. The only thing is afflictions, persecutions, cares of this life started day after day after day after day. But you know what? as serious as that is and as many as that has taken out in the past, here's what the scary part is. That's not even the major takeouts. That is the spirits that collaborate with that kind of takeout really are the lower level spirits. Those are the lower level spirits, because that's the lower level takeouts. Why? Because you remember what Pastor Dave used to say? He said, persecution and things from without, persecution wants out. That's what he would say. In other words, afflictions and persecutions and cares wants a way of escape. It wants a way of escape. So a lot of people will trudge past that. They will get past that to a point, because once that's happening to them, they're so oppressed by it, they're like, either I'm going to quit or I'm going to go into God. And they know that their only way of escape is either to go kind of backslide and say, hopefully, if I kind of like take the gas, if I back off of the gas, maybe the devil will back off of me. So they got that option. They don't think they're backsliding. They just, you know, he sends them to college. He's got a university. You know, I've almost been trained by before. You know what? If you go in, he'll pound, 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 pound. If you back off, he'll kind of back off. But he's leading you into a trap. He's trying to teach you through some kind of role play that, like, if you back off, I'll back off. But he's a liar. He's an absolute liar. But in all those things, afflictions, persecution, cares of this life, all those things are, they're coming from without. And as a result of them, a lot of people will dredge past that, and they'll look for a way of escape and say, okay, God, I know this is coming from the devil. It's trying to steal the word from me. As a result of it, I'm just going to hang in there. I'm going to hang in there. You know, people are leaving. People are going, this and that, the other. You know, I've watched people through the years that I just love dearly, and I have nothing against them. I believe with all my heart there's no, you know, unforgiveness there. But, you know, you just watch them in your life, and you watch them go out of your life. And it's amazing, and you're saying, okay, God. But all those things, and what I'm saying that for is this, it was easy for me in those times to say, man, I know we're trying, you know, the enemy's trying to destroy us. I better keep my eyes on the Lord like I've never kept my eyes on the Lord. Keep fasting, keep praying, keep going in. Those things are from without. The next two, deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, those things are, if a person can get past, if they can get past the persecution that comes from without, then he's got two more in his arsenal. He's got two more. And the last of the last is the one that really I've heard, as Gary said, in a different way than ever before. Because when he goes into the deceitfulness of riches, when Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of riches and then goes to the lust of other things, what he's talking about there are not the things that are coming from without that the enemy uses, but he begins to use those things that are coming from within. And what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm talking about the flesh. I'm talking about absolutely the flesh, in which I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and we're not going to get a whole long ways in it tonight. You'll never, ever get rid of the flesh. You can conquer it on a daily basis, but the reason why it is the last of the last that the enemy uses, that when people get past all these other things, and if we studied, I can see we're not going to get real far tonight. Maybe, I don't even know if we'll get into the illustration. If you studied church history and some of the generals, I've got some books on God's generals. If you read about them, it would amaze you how that some of these men went to whatever links. I mean, they fought past, some of them had diseases in their bodies, they got past that, they got past finances, and they got past all kinds of things. But having done all of that, at the last part of their life, brings tears to your eyes, serve God for 40, 50 years, and come into a place where the last one that the enemy would use would be the lust of other things, which is your flesh. which is that flesh that in a few moments maybe we'll get into the illustration of it and show you where your flesh is at in redemption as far as what Christ has brought to us and where we're walking at today. But let me just say that when the enemy comes with the last two, those are the things that are not coming from without. Those are the things that are coming from within because they are the flesh. Everybody with me so far? Yes. Hallelujah. Deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. This is where, okay, Lord, this is where I had gotten it kind of wrong because when I heard Dave the first time, I had equivocated or I had put that in. He talks about what he defines as a God complex. And that's where the lust of other things brought men to a place that, they serve God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, that book of God's generals, they were men that really sincerely loved God. I mean, they had miracles in their ministry, tremendous miracles in their ministry, miracles like that we're believing God for. And yet, in the end, two of them that I can think about, one of them said he was preaching one night and he was talking of, all these miracles were taking place. I mean, this guy, I started to talk about the words of knowledge that he had. He had words of knowledge that were incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just, he could go on and on and on and describe things to you about yourself or, that God would give him. But one night in a service, a lady stood up and said, "Yea, thou art Elijah to come." And he said, "Ma'am," he goes, "I know, be quiet. God's already been telling me that I am Elijah to come." And Dave talks about the God complex. That's the last temptation that Jesus went through. The lust of other things. That's the last takeout. Another one of these famous ministers, he got to the point where both of these guys got real strange in their doctrine. Although for many years they were right where we're at. Makes me want to continue to pray in tongues every day. Amen. This one guy that if I said his name, my God, there's books written about him. People still believe that he's going to be resurrected on this planet before the Lord comes back because he was such a mighty man of God. And he got to the place where he said God showed him that he had created him. He was the only man on the planet that had a mouth shaped that could actually speak God's name so perfectly. My mouth can say Yahweh the way that it can be pronounced perfectly, that will bring the power of God and Jesus Christ back into the earth. Once he began to say that, once those guys began to say those kinds of things, it wasn't long that they were on the planet. I mean, that they left the planet. They left not long thereafter. I thought that the lust of other things based on what Dave was describing was those kinds of things, like the God complex. But what I've found out by listening, and I encourage you to listen, is that the lust of other things is also the flesh. That was the flesh that took them to that place. But many of the things that I thought that were like on, let's say this, men that served God for years and got past persecutions, afflictions, cares of this life, only at the end would bow to the point to where, man, you thought, man, that guy's got it. We can follow him to the end. And then the end, he runs off with the church secretary. Well, it'd be all right for me because my wife is a church secretary. But what causes that? The flesh. And the reason why it's the last takeout is this. you'll never be rid of your flesh. You'll never be rid of that part of you that Satan tries to use to continually come at you and continually pound you. Can you rule over it? Yes, you can. Does it have the enzymes in it, the things inside of it that can be, if allowed to? I don't even know why we set these out here tonight, because the introduction is so long. It's taken so long that I really want to get into it. I will just say this. This first one, spirit, you see it's kind of a golden man, right? Candy got that right. She said, how do you want me to print it up? I said, well, she said, I'll put it in yellow or gold. I said, that's good. Because that's who you became. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Once you got born again, to that big chair up there, and I'll just tell you, in the next few weeks we'll go into this. This is kind of an introduction. That big chair up there, that's Christ seated in heavenly places. Once you got born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Well, where did you become a new creature? You became a new creature here in your spirit. Hebrews 4, chapter 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it goes on to talk about the flesh, the joints, and the marrow. The soul and the spirit. When you get born again, let me say this. When you're created and when you come into this world, Jesus said this, except man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you were born into this world. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he'll not enter the kingdom of God. Well, now, the water is your natural birth. We obviously had to come into this planet. But with that natural birth, you had, and I think most of us in here understand that, you had a spirit. Now, that spirit was a darkened spirit. It was black, because it had the nature of its forefather. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Do you know, this is hard to even think about, those little creatures that we love so much, that run around in our home, until they get born again, they're aliens. They don't have the same father that we do. People in the world do not have the same father. Why? Because their spirits are not yet born again. Once you come into the kingdom of God, you had a spirit, but once you come into the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, his nature comes into your spirit, and you're born again of incorruptible seed, and God the Father becomes your father. He becomes your spiritual father. As a result of it, that's who you are. Everybody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. Okay. You are really, this is how God communicates to you, spirit. That's who you are. When he's prophesying to you, you know who he's prophesying to? His son or his daughter, that spirit person. He's not prophesying to your soul. Your soul's not even saved. Now, your soul can be saved on a daily basis. And we'll teach this very emphatically in the next few weeks. And I'll show you from the Word of God. Well, my soul's saved. Yes and no, per se. You can save it, but you got to renew it. But instantaneously, this guy gets born again. That's why sometimes when people are prophesying, let's just use ourselves, because I don't want to put you in a place of judgment. Well, maybe, okay. You're looking and you're hearing a visiting pastor come in here, and let's put it as Pastor Dave, and he's got somebody up here that the church knows been going through a problem, and he's saying, yay, it says the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to do mighty works, and you're going to have a ministry, and you're thinking, I love Pastor Dave, but boy, he is way off on that person. He's way off on them. You know why he's not? Because God's not speaking to the flesh. And he's not speaking to the problems that person is having in their flesh. He's speaking to the person, the son or the daughter that he knows that's born again and he has plans for and he has a future for. I've had prophecies in even the last few years where the Lord would speak to me and he would say things through men of God that would give, I mean, it was so wonderful. It was just speaking, you know, straight to me. And I'm thinking, while God's speaking to me, my reaction is like, who's he talking to? Does he know, you know, what I've been going through? Who's he talking to? He knows who he's talking to. He's talking to that man, the spirit man. That's who you are. That's who you are once you get born again. Jesus said, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's where that new creation takes place, is in that spirit person. That's the person who God refers to. That's the person who God doesn't even communicate with your soul. Your mind is not where God speaks. Now, your mind can pick it up. The Holy Spirit can transfer revelation knowledge. But the whole communication and the whole identification process is not in any of these others. Now, the moment that you get born again, you are God's son or daughter in your spirit. The moment that you get born again, you can begin to, as a result of that, begin to renew your soul. You know what your soul is? It's your mind, by the Greek. It's your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. Do we need the soul? Yes, we need the soul. We need the soul. Although Kenneth Hagin said, the best thing for a lot of Christians once they get born again, it would be to just cut their heads off, because they would stop reasoning with their minds and just learn with their spirits. But you can't do that, because we live on earth, and the soul is to articulate or calculate. I mean, if you're, you know, going to step into the street and you see traffic coming, it's not your spirit that says, don't step out right now. It's your mental faculties. It says, don't, because you're going to get run over, and you're thinking, that's a good idea. I won't step out in the street right now. Don't touch the stove. It's hot. Okay, I need a soul. I need something in this realm to tell me, don't touch the stove. I need something in this realm. Pay your taxes before April 15th, or you might get in trouble. Go do. I need a soul telling me all this stuff. Okay, but the soul is independent of the spirit. The soul must be renewed. Romans 12, what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. According to God's word in Ephesians, from the very beginning, this guy is created in true righteousness and in holiness. You cannot improve. I don't care how many fasts you do. I don't care how much praying in tongues you do. I don't care how much meditation of the word. You cannot improve on the righteousness and the holiness in this guy, which is the Spirit. And that's the person that God is always communicating to. He's communicating to his son, his daughter, that spirit person. This one, the soul, it must be renewed on a continual basis. It must have the Word of God being put in it on a continual basis. Now, a lot of that renewal will take place right to start with, once you get born again. Once you get born again and that conversion takes place, most people, I mean, they change. And if they don't change, if you go to church 3 weeks or 2 months after, you know, you're born again, and you hear a sermon on stealing, and you say, man, I'm glad that guy preached on stealing today, because I didn't know it was wrong until he preached on it. I would dare say you did not get born again, because the nature of the Spirit is this. From the very beginning, it's created in true righteousness and in holiness. It knows. It has the Ten Commandments, the moral code of the law it has inside of it. But the soul, it has to be renewed. It needs to be renewed. Much of that renewing takes place at conversion, but not all of the strongholds of the soul go away immediately after conversion. That's why we have to continually prune and kill and desire that the Lord works on the soul. Last of all, I'll let you go in just a few minutes. This guy is not saved, the flesh, the body. It's not. It has, and we'll go to Romans 7 maybe next week if we get a chance, and show you that even that man in Romans 7 is not a born-again man, but he talks about the motions of sin. Now, the motions of sin, even after you're born again, He talked about the motions of sin, and that motions of sin is in this, the flesh. Even after that guy is instantaneously born again, and this guy is continually renewed and saved, the motions of sin are still in the flesh. How many of you know that your flesh will sin if you let it? Can I get a hallelujah? If you don't, we need to really stay here a long, long time. This guy will sin. He will do anything that you let it do. If you let it, even if you're born again, this will do anything. It will go get drunk. It will have adultery. It still has the capacity in it to do what it does not fear God. It is still, when the fall took place, when Adam was created, we can't get too much into this tonight. He was created with the same nature that you and I got once we got born again. It was created with a nature. And he was actually created, and we'll get into this next week, after the second member of the Godhead, which was the incarnate Christ. All things, Colossians says, were created by him and for him. And so we won't get into all that tonight. But Adam's spirit was created just like ours in life. The moment that Adam fell, his spirit went from life to death. In other words, it was born again in reverse, if you want to say that. It went over here into a place where now it began to serve the flesh. It was one with the flesh. And we'll get into more, too, of the flesh is not just the body. The flesh is also the soul, the parts of the soul that are not yet renewed. But the main thing I wanted to tell you is this: your flesh, that's where Satan fights in the last takeouts. That's where Satan fights in the last takeouts, because that guy will never be. That's the part where God says, look, I can save this instantly, I can renew this, but I can't ever do anything with this until the last trumpet. That's why in Romans 8 he said the body must be declared positionally dead. And the only way that we can live under that, we're not going to turn there, we're going to wind this up, although we're doing pretty good, is Philippians 2, where it talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery, being equal with God, made of himself of no reputation, became a servant, became a slave, and yielded himself to the cross, to the death, yielded himself unto death, even, last part, even to the death of the cross. Meaning this, Jesus came to this planet with a nature just like you and I got now, the born-again nature. But Jesus knew this, that he had a flesh that came from Mary. He had a flesh that came from the first Adam. Jesus was the last Adam, not the second, because there will never be a third. He's the last one. Some people say, Jesus is the second Adam. No, he's the last Adam. There's not three or four. No. He's the last one. But he's got a flesh living. He's living in a body that can sin. Now, if you don't think Jesus could have sinned, then you don't understand what redemption is all about. Because one of the most beautiful things about our Savior is this. He had the same capacity. I love this about him. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became my sin. Hallelujah. He never sinned. But did you know that he was wearing a body that's just like mine? Jesus, and we'll get into this in the next few weeks, the Bible says he was tempted. Now, either it's lying, I don't think the Bible can lie. He was tempted in all points, just as I am, yet without sin. In other words, if that is not a lie, then Jesus, as a man living in a flesh body, had to have seen girls walk by and look at him and something come at him that he had to say, mm-mm, no, I will not go there. I refuse that. He was living in a flesh body just like you and I, but thank God he gave us the victory over it. Because the word says in Philippians 2, it says this, let this mind be in you. What kind of mind? Which was also in Christ, who gave himself over to death, even the death of the cross. What does that mean? He got on, he finally went to the final cross, but every day he went to the cross with his flesh. Every day he went to the cross and said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. I yield myself over to you. I refuse to die, or I refuse to live the life of the flesh. I choose to die and give myself over to you on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, believe me, Satan was, you know, he'd come at Jesus and he'd throw those thoughts, but Jesus withstood. Can we withstand? Yes, we can. Are we more than conquerors? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're not going to identify. Everybody say this. I am not my flesh. I am a spirit. That's where God identifies of who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? It means a couple things. First of all, let me tell you this. Temptation is not a sin. Don't let anybody ever tell you temptation is a sin. Well, if they do, then Jesus sinned. Because the Bible says he was tempted in all points. But he didn't give himself over to it. He didn't go there. He didn't follow it. When things come, what you've got to do is, when Satan begins to badger that part of you and bring things to you, anger, lust of other things, fears, anxieties, just thoughts of wanting to do things that you shouldn't, you have this option, and I pray to God you exercise it. Know this, that is not you. That is not you. Now, you don't have the option to sin and say, well, that wasn't me. If you do sin, you better get it under the blood. Ask for forgiveness. But in the badgering part, when he's coming at your flesh, you need to begin to say, devil, flesh, that's not me. I'm not going there. Jesus has already faced this, and he conquered it. I'm going to conquer it too. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, stand with me. Were you blessed? Glory. Amen. 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 I think we got to, I didn't even touch where I was going, but glory to God. I had to go lay a foundation. Father, we thank you and bless you. We give you all the praise and glory. We ask you to bless them tonight. Let your word stand strong inside of them. And Lord, we give you all the thanks. Lord, let this word be sown deeper and deeper inside. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.